Good morning. I mean, really, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you feel it's a good morning?
Yes.
Good. Me too. So this morning, I'm going to talk about how to live in Christ. And I'll be talking about 3 points that the teachings say that we must increase as we dedicate ourselves to the Christ. And then I'll be giving 9 points from the teaching about how to create Christ consciousness. So the teachings indicate that there are 3 points that we, those of us whose hearts and minds are dedicated to Christ, must increase. So these 3 points. The first one is glory to God. The second is peace on earth. And the third is goodwill. So the first, glory to God. We can glorify God if we really live according to the principles of God. I can't help but to recall George Harrison's beautifully written and sung song, My Sweet Lord. Do you remember that song? If you don't know who George Harrison is, I can't imagine, you know, but you may be a young person and don't even know who the Beatles are. Anyway, they're from London, and George was the lead guitarist of the Beatles, and he died young. He was 58 when he died of cancer. But this, the words to his song, just briefly, he sang these songs, this song, so these words so beautifully. He said, I really want to see you. I really want to be with you. I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to know you. And then he went on where he was talking about, he said again, my sweet Lord. And he's saying these words over and over again with each stanza. And he included Krishna, he included Brahma, he included Parabrahma, and others with such intense passion that it cannot help but open your heart. This music, his words, cannot help but open your heart to God, no matter your faith. So that's glory to God. Peace on earth is the second point. Peace on earth must be increased in our heart and our mind, not just something that we sing or say rhetorically, but it must be increased. Peace on earth must be increased in our heart and mind. Prayers, songs, and worship have destroyed a kind of darkness that was surrounding the earth. But we must not stop there. A new dawn, a new life is waiting for us. So let us increase our songs, our prayers, worship during this season and the coming year. Make a commitment to attend our Sunday broadcast here, the White Mountain Education Association, our broadcasts. Try to attend on a regular basis as a way of service to destroy the darkness that is covering the strata around the world. And this is a service that you can give to yourself, your family, your friends, and the world. Daily meditation and prayer needs to be part of the life of those who are believers in God and Christ. There's a movement today called the Global Silent Minute that everyone, no matter their faith or their philosophy, can participate. A movement that is ongoing all over the world. The present-day founders, good friends of mine, Dot Maver and Wendy Thompson, they give us some history of the present that we're participating in presently. And I'm going to give you the history about this global silent minute. They say that humanity is living through a challenging moment as we address immediate crises in many areas of living. They say we are striving to bring our collective focus to increase the well-being of everyone on the planet as we find solutions to move through to new ways of living together so that no one is left behind. So here's the history. The silent minute was born from a conversation between two soldiers on the eve of battle in the mountains around Jerusalem in the First World War. One of the soldiers knew he would not survive the war, and he prophesied the coming of an even greater conflict that would be fought out on every continent via ocean and air. He urged his comrade to provide an opportunity for him and millions like him to assist from the other side. He said, "Lend us a moment each day, and through your silence, give us an opportunity. The power of silence is greater than you know." Wesley Tudor Pole said in 1960, "There is no power on earth that can withstand the united cooperation on spiritual levels of men and women of goodwill everywhere." The silent moment was instituted by his comrade, Major Tudor Pole, during the London Blitz in 1940, as a moment to enter into silence and to provide a portal for cooperation with an unseen but mighty army in the subtle worlds. The silent minute is called upon all citizens of the British Commonwealth nations and territories on land, sea, and air to unite in thought, irrespective of philosophy or religion, in a silent prayer for peace and freedom. Every night on the BBC radio, 1 minute before the hour, the bells of Big Ben signal the silent moment to begin at 9 p.m. Tudor Pole knew that if enough people joined in this gesture of dedicated intent, the tide would turn and the invasion of England would be diverted. Indeed, its success in bringing peace was acknowledged after the way by a high-ranking German officer who was quoted as saying, "You had a secret weapon for which we could find no countermeasure and which we did not understand, but it was very powerful. It was associated with the striking of the Big Ben clock each evening. I believe you called it the silent minute," unquote. We can participate in this movement each day for 1 minute. Or you can participate in the upcoming annual Global Silent Minute, which will be held December 21st at 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 4 p.m. New York Time, 2 p.m. Arizona Time. And 9 in the morning the next day, December 22nd, in Sydney. You can find more information on this meeting by going to Facebook or just Google Global Silent Minute on Google, and you'll find a lot of information about it. And the third point that we must increase in us is goodwill, goodwill among men. We share our gifts, our blessings, and our good wishes. We love each other, we respect each other, and we remember each other. In this way, we build integration, a whole network of relationships around the world, around the planet, and this has a big effect. When I think back when I was born, you know, we didn't have what's available to us today to create this great global network. Telemetry was the first step toward building a global network. Now we have the internet, and we have far reaches of the planet that people would never, never ever visit because it's so difficult to get there, but they have found a way to bring the internet into their little community. So we have a whole network of relationships now we can build around the planet. It's going to have a big effect. So goodwill, if you wish well, goodwill, if you wish well for everybody, every existing form in life, you are going to be increasing the beauty of Christ in your heart. These three points are the foundation upon which we can build our spiritual structure. We must create peace, always peace, within ourselves, peace within our family, within our friends and relatives, and everywhere. Our Christmas goal and purpose is not exactly to celebrate just one day of Christmas. This is what the teaching says. Christmas is a huge, infinite beauty and responsibility. Ignorant people live for themselves. They are selfish, egocentric people. They say, mine, 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 me, me, ours. Well, if you really expand your consciousness a little, you're not going to live for yourself. It is absolutely impossible. You break that vicious circle, that is the you circle, and you start thinking about your beloved ones first, and then your family, and then your nation. You start thinking about your beloved ones first. Who are the beloved ones? Your teachers, Christ, the mother of the world, and God. Even the birds are our brothers. Animals are part of our family. We must start living for this whole living planet. That is what we call Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness is engagement with the living life on the planet and within every form. That is the beginning of what Christmas is. Eventually, we will make ourselves a beautiful tree. Then the world will be a tree. And then we will present the world as a beautiful tree to the sun. And we will say, we did it. We did it. Then our cosmic Christmas will start, because Christmas means to be born again and again and again into greater and greater glory, into greater peace, and into greater goodwill. Now, the teaching gives us 9 items or components that form Christ consciousness. 9 items or components. The first is clarity. Clarity is the first item of Christ's consciousness. So if you're taking notes, clarity, write that down. Clarity is so important. This kind of consciousness is clarity. Christ's consciousness is clarity consciousness. In clarity, we start acting, feeling, and thinking really clearly. You never say, I'm confused. You see a problem clearly. You see something so clearly that your actions follow clearly. I just have to add this because there are so many conspiracy theories going on in the world. Conspiracy theories plant the seeds of doubt in the minds of men and women and children, and especially in our leadership around the world. Build Christ consciousness in your human mechanism, and you will not need to thrive on conspiracy theories because you will now understand how to think clearly, to see a problem clearly, and then you see things so clearly that your actions follow clearly. You do not play hide and seek any longer. You no longer have all those obscurations, and you do not have intentions to hide your actions the way conspiracy theories do. You know, I'm really serious about this. We live in a world today. The beauty of the world is the network that we have built of communication around the world through the internet. But through this beauty, we have to have discrimination. We need to build discernment so we can recognize those that are the cause of certain conspiracy theories to plant seeds of doubt in the minds of men and women all over the world to prevent our consciousness from evolving. So we have to take time and build clarity in our consciousness. It is so important that we are not fooling our co-workers, our friends, and especially our teacher. Begin to think clearly. Don't have intentions to hide your actions from your teacher, especially. If you try to hide your actions from your teacher, it means you are not ready to take the next initiation, and you are still hiding from yourself and others. So let us strive hard for the rest of this year and this coming year to think in Christ consciousness. This is how we can live in Christ and no longer hide ourselves and truth. The second is simplicity, which is so beautiful. You become simple in your dressing, in your actions, in your emotions, and in your thinking. Simplicity means harmonious beauty and glory. That's simplicity. Harmonious beauty and glory. We talk with simplicity, and you think with simplicity. See, this is so interesting to me because I hear people say to me, you know, your talks are so simple. And I say, thank you very much. And then they kind of frown. Because to some people, simplicity means that you're a novice. But if you speak in complexity, then you are an advanced intellect. Well, I would prefer to be known as a simple speaker than a complex speaker, because speaking in simplicity means you're speaking clearly and you're going to be understood clearly. When you listen to people who speak in complexity, we are so busy trying to figure out exactly what it is that they're saying that we miss half of what they say and distort the other half, and trying to associate their complexity with something that our brain will recognize. And if our brain doesn't think clearly, then our recognition will be based on false fact. Think about that. So, simplicity. You don't have to speak in complexity to make a point understood. Direction. Those who have direction are cultivating Christ consciousness. You can have direction if you have a goal and if you have a purpose. So have direction. Goal and purpose constitute having life direction. So Christ consciousness has a purpose and has a goal that we direct. Direction means we direct all of our actions, our emotional relationships, our mental relationships, our thought and creativity in such a way that the goal is achieved and actualized. That is Christ consciousness. Direction. Have goal and purpose. What is your highest goal? Your highest goal is to be a Christ. When you put that goal in your mind, it becomes a great God in your mind. Just like Richard's reading of the poem this morning. See the reflection of what I'm saying in his reading. When you put that goal in your mind, it becomes a great Christ in your mind. And every time you do something wrong, it kicks you. Immediately, when you open your mouth and you say something that really does not fit into that consciousness, what happens to you? You say, I wish I did not say that. I wish I had not thought that. Don't you? So that's direction. The fourth step is solemnity. Christ consciousness creates solemnity. You are a dignified human being. You walk with dignity. You speak with dignity. Your relationships are dignified. You think in a dignified manner. And there is some kind of nobility around you, in you, and in your aura. People feel it. That is solemnity. I was watching a hour-long program on TV called The View. I love watching The View because there are four or five women, sometimes a man will be a guest speaker, and they always state their opinions so voraciously. Well, apparently some of them were, of the members of The View, were invited to attend the White House Christmas party. And they talked about that. But what stood out to me is that one of the women from The View took her son, because her husband, who's a surgeon, and she said he had six surgeries to do that day, so he couldn't attend the party. So she took her son. Her son is in college now. And they showed this picture of President Obama in the background and her son in the foreground. And both of the same, you know, color. And it was mesmerizing, so beautiful. And she said, you know, he stood there for 10 minutes, just gazing at that painting of President Obama. That's solemnity. It was such a beautiful, beautiful moment. Nobility. People feel it. I hope some of you take this fourth step, the step of solemnity, and strive to put it in your life this coming year. You can say to yourself, I am going to practice being a dignified human being. I will walk with dignity. I will speak with dignity. I will think in a dignified manner. It will make you so happy and magnetic. The fifth is an interesting one. It's punctuality. Punctuality puts our personality under discipline. It is like entering into a gear called punctuality. When you are not in gear, your nature does not run on the highway because you are not synchronized with it, with punctuality. Punctuality puts our personality in gear with our soul. And our personality is now running by the power of our soul. This is why punctuality is so important to practice in our lives. Punctuality means to coordinate all of our actions and emotions and thoughts in a way that we do not miss our appointment. Number six is beauty. It is in and through beauty that we conquer our inner and outer life. Conquer and put into harmony our family life and our group life. It is not easy. It's not so easy to create beauty in our family life. But if you stick with it and you practice these other five elements of building Christ consciousness, it is going to happen. Maybe not perfectly, because we are not necessarily perfect personalities, but it will help us be happy. Everyone knows what beauty is. Spread beauty everywhere. Increase beauty in your thinking, feelings, and actions, not criticism. See, criticism destroys the harmony of beauty. Criticism destroys the harmony of beauty. Spread beauty everywhere and increase beauty in your feeling and thinking and actions, in your planning and your intentions. Beauty can conquer your tendency to criticize and demean others. It's like a rhythm. Once you get into this rhythm of spreading beauty, of thinking beauty, feeling beauty, creating actions in all of your decisions, it takes on a rhythm that once, and if you happen to break it, it is like breaking your whole system into pieces. Because breaking your whole system into pieces means that you're taking that note of beauty and creating dissonance in your whole mechanism, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual mechanisms. So let us conquer our tendency to criticize and demean others. Just imagine yourself living these steps of Christ consciousness, especially solemnity and beauty. Can you see yourself walking and speaking in dignity and beauty? How terrific. I can hardly wait to see these things happen in all of us this coming year. The seventh step is joy. Be joyful. How can you help others in the world if you do not change yourself? Joy is the ability to live in Christ. When I was very young, I recognized how many people in my environment were really unhappy people. Even if they experienced a moment or two of happiness, they lost the tension of happiness and returned to their unhappy life. If the parents were unhappy, the children were unhappy. Even their unhappiness affected their pets. I vowed one day I wanted to help others experience joy and to remove their unhappiness. The teaching has given me that opportunity. Try to increase joy everywhere, because in increasing joy in others, you increase your own joy. Try it. Joy and gratitude are like husband and wife. Be grateful that you are healthy and that you are beautiful. Be grateful that you have food. Gratefulness will bring you joy. Christ consciousness is joy, and joy is the flower of gratitude. So that's number 7. Number 8 is a state of thinking in which can be called a future-oriented state of consciousness. You see how this reflects that poem? It just tickles me that Richard read. It's right there in that poem. This is showing how the teachings have continuity. No matter what book you pick up, no matter what piece of poetry you read, there's a continuity from one to the other. So the next step, number 8 in Christ consciousness, is a state of thinking which can be called a future-oriented state of consciousness. Now, this really appeals to those of us who are Aquarian-like in our nature. All those who enter into their super consciousness are future-oriented people. Whatever we think, speak, do, or plan must be approved by our future achievements, by the vision of our future achievements. We must do nothing that will hurt our future. How careful we must be not to hurt our future. We could create a children's, more likely a teenager program as well, on this concept of how careful we must be not to hurt our future and raise our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in this way. So that's number 8. And number 9 is called co-measurement. The 9th step in Christ consciousness is called co-measurement. Co-measurement, this is from the teaching, co-measurement means you think, speak, and act in such a way that you create maximum harmony within all concerned. That's co-measurement. It means the ability to take into consideration all of those factors related to the activities that you intend to perform. So practicing co-measurement means not to act, write, or speak without taking into consideration as many factors as possible. These factors that are related to your action, your speech, or your writings. Your actions. You know, there's so much in this that we could break down into little parts and talk about these little parts for hours on end. Think about how you walk, when you walk, where you are walking, even where you are walking, and practice co-measurement with your speech. See, speech and writing and acting, It's very interesting how they all intermingle. It is a process of relating things together and taking the right step. Taking the right step. For example, if you had the virtue of co-measurement, you speak about the right things at the right time with the right people in the right location with the right words and with the right feeling for the proper duration. In this way, you place your words in such a way that you get the maximum result from them. So let me close with this. Christmas is not a time of drinking and dancing and having a good time. What is it then? It is a perpetual striving toward perfection, toward the future. This is how we can develop Christ consciousness and live in Christ. Then we can carry the light of Christmas into the world, day in and day out, throughout our life. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, I really liked it too. It's such a privilege to put together these talks and then share them with our friends and coworkers and with new people.